Hello and welcome back to Millennial 2021. This is the final stream for tonight. I'm here now with Ramsey Paul. Now, Ramsey Paul is a famous figure in our circles. I'm sure he doesn't need any introduction, but, would you like to introduce yourself just for the sake of it?
Yeah, my name's Ramsey Paul, but my real name is Paul Ramsey. Isn't that clever? And Millennial Moles, I've been a fan of his for a long time, and we've actually met. I think the last time was it in Helsinki.
Yes.
Was that it? That was a fun time. So there was Tina Veek and her fiance Eunice. It was a great time. I think Jared Taylor was there, and it was
weird.
Yeah,
very
we were
strange
actually in a spot together. That was a weird thing. So
yeah, there was a period where I was going to all these conferences, and you ended up in these bizarre situations, like being in a sauna with Jared Taylor and Ramsey.
Yeah, it was like we were all like naked together. It was bizarre. I guess I shouldn't have said that. I don't want to start with, but that's how they do it in Finland. So
yeah, yeah. And then a few months earlier, I had been in Dublin for a conference, and I was in a rural Irish pub in the middle of nowhere with Jared Taylor. And I thought, I remember saying to my girlfriend, did you ever think that you would be in a rural Irish pub with Jared Taylor? Is this not just bizarre?
It is funny. So, and I was saying before the show, I would love to visit Scotland one day. That's my ancestry. We're talking about that. And I would also like to see Ireland there, too. I guess when I was young, they had what they called the Troubles, but I guess that's all done now, right? They like the British now, kind of still, or no?
Well, I do. I wouldn't want to say anything. I wouldn't want to speak for them. I think there's still a lot of resentment towards the Brits. In southern, like in the Republic of Ireland.
Oh yeah, yeah, not in the northern counties. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I mean, it's weird. I've never ever come to grips with it and sort of learned to understand all the different dynamics and what side this group was on and all this. I just know it was a very unpleasant conflict, and in some senses, it still simmers on now.
It was always strange because it's like, yeah, we don't want under the fucking British rule, but now they're like, come on in, everyone. And the EU, aren't they part of the EU?
EU as well. I mean, Sinn Féin is the Irish equivalent of the SNP in Scotland, where it's an ostensibly nationalist organization, party, but it hates the nation. It despises nationhood and the people and wants to pause them up with global homo and the EU and mass immigration and multiculturalism, and in Ireland's case, big tech. Ireland is really under the thumb of big tech. I don't really know how. I think that was probably a deliberate ploy on the part of global homo, let's say, because Ireland was a poor nation, and it was also just shaking off its old identity as a very traditional Catholic country.
Right.
And it might well have seen itself that the more urbanite of the population might well have been a bit embarrassed about Ireland and seen it as a backwater. So, well, what can we do to spice it up, transform ourselves into a modern country? Well, we can allow Google and all these other big tech corporations to set up home here. And they did, and then those corporations proceeded to change the culture in various ways, such that, for example, the abortion debate. I think they were 10, maybe 15 years apart. The abortion, they had two referendums, and the results switched over the course of that because of the cultural changes brought by big tech. But again, it's not my country. I don't want to speak for it. And, it's very possible that what I just said is some sort of, absurd caricature of the actual truth. So, but that's the way it looks from afar. Not that far. But still, that's how it looks from outside.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, you have some, yeah. I always thought the Scotch and the Irish are kind of related, aren't they, historically?
Yeah. Well, Ulster Scots, which is up in Northern Ireland, they are basically Scottish people who went over there. But
right.
And there's also a heavy traffic from Ireland into Scotland. Glasgow is heavily Irish. but also into Liverpool down in England. That's a heavy Irish influence as well. So, yeah, it's there is, you know, you could say we're a nation of immigrants. So anyway, what I wanted to ask you about, and thank you for agreeing to appear, what I wanted to ask you about was COVID, because, and we probably will talk about other things as well, don't worry, but I do want to get onto this topic because Ramsey Paul didn't appear last year for different reasons, and I wanted to bring it up with him then. The fact that he was one of the very first people in our circles to be skeptical about COVID, about the whole thing, and to assume that it was a scam. So, and you know, you put up with a lot of shit, didn't you, at the time? A lot of people thinking that you were being irresponsible and presumptuous and all this. Maybe you were being presumptuous, but you turned out to be right. So can you go through the story of how that happened, like how you first discovered, first learned about COVID, and why you assumed quite early on that this was bullshit?
Well, yeah, a couple of reasons, and thank you. I have to give a lot of credit to, I think his name is Carl Denninger. He goes by the ticker guy, and he's big into data. He started out as a financial analyst, but he just loves data. And early on, we had basically a test case, the Diamond Princess. That was a cruise ship. And that's sort of all enclosed. There's a bunch of old people. And based on that situation, we had like a perfect laboratory to determine how deadly COVID-19 was. And we had pretty good data then that it really wasn't as scary as they made it out to be. Because if you remember, everyone at first was scared because they had those. Because, by the way, I do think it was a lab leak. And I think that's pretty well established now of how the Chinese freaked out when it happened. But some of that stuff was, I think, propaganda. You remember the scenes of like a guy, Chinese man, walking across the street, and it's like, ah, and he's falling over dead. And then so people are like, oh, my God, there's this virus. You could be fine. And then you get it. And it's like, ah, you just collapse dead. And it got everyone so scared. And, you know, we know bullshit. You don't die that way of COVID. But it really panicked everyone. And at first, the Democrats, you remember, they were claiming that Trump was racist for trying to shut flights to China. It's like, you don't like the Chinese people, racist. And I think in New York City, they're having a Chinese parade. We got to go down there and hug a Chinaman. You know, they just love that sort of stuff.
They did the same in Italy. One other aspect that everyone's forgotten about this now, but right back at the start, the way that it first manifested was jokes about bat soup.
Yes.
I remember that.
Yeah,
and everyone's forgotten this now.
Yeah, because it supposedly came from bats because there's a wet market right next to that institute. And I guess Chinese, they like to eat a lot of weird ass food. But I'm not being racist because my heritage is Scottish. No offense, millennial woes, but hoggish, is that the name of that weird shit you guys eat up there? That's
haggis.
What the hell is that? Now, that's probably worse than bat stuff, but it's like sheep intestines. Please tell me it's not sheep intestines.
It is. Yeah.
Disgusting. So see, I'm not being racist, but Chinese eat a lot of weird shit too. And so you remember they had like the bat in the bowl scene. And so that's where they got the whole idea that it maybe came from a bat. But then what happened as it started to hype up, I think the Democrats realized, hey, this is an election year. We can use this as our Hurricane Katrina, which was a hurricane under George Bush that kind of wrecked his presidency. Because he was seen as being kind of disinterested. He wasn't involved with the disaster.
Yeah, didn't he go golfing or something?
Exactly. And see, politicians, they love disasters typically, like flies love a corpse. They just go to disasters because immediately when there's like a disaster, I don't know in Britain, but in the United States, they run out there, they get in front of the cameras, they loosen their tie like this, and they roll up their suits, you know, their shirt sleeves, and they look, hey, I'm here on the situation to take it all in. They may put on a hard hat, you know, and then once the cameras go, they get the hell out of there. But politicians love that shit. And so there was I think the Trump administration and with Fauci, they realized they needed to take this seriously. So then they started to hype it. Then pretty soon, I remember when Trump banned travel to Europe, it was like, bam, in the United States, everyone freaked out the next day and you couldn't buy toilet paper. I don't know why to this day, why everyone in the disaster went for toilet paper. You think you go for food, water, nope, toilet paper. At least in America, that's what we need. We could starve to death, but God damn it, we have our toilet paper instead. So, they do that in Europe too, toilet paper?
Yeah.
I don't know how there
wasn't an international shortage of toilet paper after that, because it just seemed like everyone was doing that.
I don't know,
maybe they just claimed they were doing it to be fashionable, but actually they were quite confident about the situation.
So that was the strangest thing. But and then they had this, oh my God, everyone's going to die in New York City. It's just horrible. And then Trump sent that ship, I think it was called Mercy or something like that. It was to, oh, the overflow people could go into this hospital ship, but then like really no one showed up, and they had all these tents set up and all the hospitals were supposed to be overrun, but they weren't. And then we had the phenomenon when all these people are supposed to be really busy, these fat nurses, for some reason, they decided to do TikTok videos. I had no idea why, but they decided to do that. And then in Britain, they just went like totally, I'm no offense to get for Britain. I don't mean to, you know, I make fun of the British because that's my heritage. But for some reason, you guys started to bang your pots like retarded monkeys at a certain time. What was that for? To support the NHS? Or
something? Yeah. It was.
Are they still doing that? Are they going to do that with the Omicron virus? Or is that over?
You know, it's weird. It's died a death. That was something that they did. I don't know when it was done. It feels like it was last year, but it might have been this year. I don't know. But I haven't heard about it for ages. It's like it was a fashionable thing to do. And now we're, to show your gratitude to all the doctors and nurses working hard to keep us all safe and to keep Granny alive. But presumably now we're not grateful to them so much for something, because otherwise we would still be doing that. I don't know. It's bizarre. I think it was just one of those things that was fashionable.
It never really caught on where I live, because people have guns here and they probably say, shut the fuck up. And they'll pull out their gun if you did that. But yeah, I wouldn't want people to be banging pots, but yeah, whatever. So it was just, I mean, after this is all done, if it ever gets done, which I don't know, because I think they lashed onto this and they could see they could implement other measures that they've had in their hip pocket, like the Great Reset and to restructure society. And they really, really want this passport. It's going to be initially for vaccines, but then it's going to be for global warming, like, oh, what's your carbon footprint? And then, you know what else is a big health hazard out there? Racism. So, you know, people that say naughty thoughts, you know, you'll be on your passport like a social credit score. So they're using this more than just for the virus, whatever that is, because the virus is like, yeah, I mean, if it hadn't been an election year, let's say if this happened in the 1950s, it would be, yeah, some deaths, but at the same time, it wouldn't be this hysteria and would pretty much be over it now. But
I don't think people would even know about it now if this had happened in the 50s. And
you know, well, we had one in the 50s here in the United States. They had an Asian flu, I think in 58, it killed a lot of people. And, you know, it was noted at the time, but then it just kind of went away and everyone went on their life. So this has become so political and it's really broke people's minds. Some of these people I don't think will ever be right in their heads. Even if they're all done with this, there'll be people that for the rest of their lives will wear a mask now. I have no doubt about it. And they're just going to be strangely phobic. Like they'll be like Howard Hughes. You remember him? He was that millionaire that he was scared of germs and he grew long fingernails. And so I think we're going to see a lot of crazy people from this. So yeah, this COVID thing is an example. Well,
what about the kids?
You know,
they're going to be fucked by the formative years. They had to do all this disinfecting and all that.
Yeah, they're going to be neurotic. And kids, they need to be able to see the face. They need the interaction. They don't need the social distancing, which, by the way, they just pulled that out of their ass. It's nothing based on science. So I think all of this is going to have a huge impact on our society. It already has, but it's going to be lasting. I don't know how we can recover from it. It's going to be a long process to recover from this insanity. And I think you're still a young guy. Maybe when you're old, people will ask you, did that really happen? Were people really acting like this? It sounds so strange. And you can say, yeah, that really did happen. I can tell you stories. But it just seems so strange and bizarre that this is really happening. And it's crazy. And it's become a very political thing. Now, see, I'm in Arkansas. I'm in the South here. And where I live, I just got a house in a rural area, and no one gives a shit about this at all. And they don't wear masks. They don't care about the vaccine. They don't care about social distancing. It's like, yeah, fuck off about that. And everyone's fine. There's no real issue. But in some places in the United States, mostly like blue cities that are very liberal, I mean, they're just into this. They love their triple masks. This one lady on Twitter, before I got on, she said, okay, I'm having a lockdown for my entire home. No one's coming in or out for I don't know how long. Someday we may find bodies of people that are hiding under their beds. It's a weird situation. And it does seem in the United States to be very different based on where you are. Again, in rural areas, people just sort of just live their lives. But if you get into left-wing areas, they really, really embrace the whole ritual of the mask, the social distancing, and all that. And they even in the stores here, I don't know if they did in Britain, they would have the way you were supposed to walk in the store, you know, like arrows. No one paid attention to that. And then for some reason, because I love fucking science, the disease, I guess, is like a vampire. It was more dangerous at night, so they had to close stores early. So because it's more deadly at night, I guess. Weird stuff that happened this whole time. And I think everyone's tired of it, but it looks like Biden tomorrow is doing his dark winter speech that they've been preparing. Winter solstice. So this is sort of symbolic of a lot of occult stuff because it's the shortest day of the year. And they're going to announce, like, who knows what they're going to announce. There's some rumors, but I'm sure it's not going to be good. Well, you saw the official White House press release. It's like, yeah, if you have your vaccine, we'll get through this. And if you don't, you're going to die. You know, it's just...
You're in for a winter of severe illness and death.
Yes.
For you, your loved ones, your... and the hospitals that you will soon overwhelm.
Yeah, Merry Deathmas. And, you know, I mean, it's not like, let's just be honest, I'll just say it this way. Not many people in the Biden administration really celebrate Christmas, let's put it that way. But I guess they're coming out with this so because they're Democrats. They're Democrats, that's why, yeah.
They're European-style socialists.
That's what they are, European-style socialists.
You need to narrow it down. So what I wanted to ask you about was, and this is a slightly different topic, I guess, but it's obviously related to it, was the social pressure, because you are probably one of the few people in our circles who can talk about this. Now, there was, so like, and what I mean is the social pressure to conform, because right. There was a consensus in our, in this online community early on. And, you know, I was kind of part of it because I thought, well, we should be careful. You know, we should close the borders and see what this thing is and wait for, you know, the numbers, the death numbers and all that to become clear. You know, fine, that's what I did. But it was so strange. I mean, there were people, and I'm not going to name names, but there were people who were fucking dead certain that this was a killer. It was a plague. And thousands, like hundreds of thousands of people are going to die in every country. And then they would brook no dissent. You know, there were people in our movement who went after anyone who was saying it's probably not a big deal. It was almost like there was a sort of a puritanical streak where they certain people wanted to impose a consensus and stamp down on anyone who was disagreeing with it. I was actually quite surprised because I thought, I take it for granted that, you know, this is the dissident right. There are dissidents and people they're going to disagree with each other. We've disagreed on things forever. There's always been disagreement. And yet suddenly there were people who just seemed to couldn't handle that some people disagreed with them. So at first I was kind of in agreement with them that, okay, this is maybe serious. Maybe it's not. Let's just take precautions. But then there were people saying, no, it's not serious. And then they were the ones who would get demonized by the people I just talked about. So there was this social pressure. And you, I have to say, I admired your resolve. You just didn't seem to give a shit. You were quite open about, like, hate me if you want. I don't think this is a serious thing.
Yeah, that's always, I guess it's my personality flaw. I don't really give a shit too much what people think, and I've always tried to do my videos that way. Now, I'll do my videos in a certain way to make sure I do the terms of service, all that. But yeah, I'm not going to bullshit what I think, and if people disagree, I don't really care. Yeah, the funniest one, I'm going to name a name. I don't care if you care about this. I'm going to name a name. I was having like this margarita here in Fayetteville. Richard Spencer, he called the police on me. He tagged the Oklahoma City police on me saying, "This guy's breaking curfew or whatever, lockdown." And the guy was so stupid, retarded, because I wasn't even in Oklahoma. I was here in Arkansas. And I could just imagine the Oklahoma City police were like, "What the hell is this?" So yeah, I will always remember that. And I was just like, I just toasted him on that. It was a Twitter type thing. But it was so funny. So I don't mean to talk shit about Richard Spencer. Well, maybe I do, but yeah, that was funny.
Right. Well, I mean, he called the police on you. I think you're entitled to say something about him.
Yeah, not like they would do anything, because they're like, dude, he's not even in our state. And oh, by the way, it's not illegal here in the state to go out and have a margarita, because we didn't have any lockdowns. So
What?
that was one of the funniest incidents I've ever been a part of. So yeah. So I escaped the police with having my margarita on in a Mexican restaurant in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Were you wearing a like a joke sombrero while you did it?
I did toast them. I said, "Here I am. Get called the police. I'm from Fayetteville. Like they will give a shit." But yeah, if that was really nice, because a lot of people make fun of the American South because we're kind of all. I'm not really a Southerner, but I try to LARP as one now because I'm down here. And in fact, I have the Confederate battle flag up in my study, if you're familiar with that flag. And I love it. I love the symbol of rebellion. And down here, people, for the most part, not everyone, but they're more, they're like, you just mind your own business, live your life, and you don't mess with other people. And I like that. I really like that sort of philosophy. Whereas other places in the United States, that's where we got the whole Karen meme, or they're always trying to get in your business about everything. And so it's kind of nice down here. In general, people don't really care what you do as long as you don't screw with them. I think that should be how most people in the world live. Mind your own business. And I think people would be happier.
Yeah, it did. Again, it surprised me how people weren't content to do that, just live and let live. But when this started, that there was an apparent need for a consensus, and they went on the attack against people who, violated that consensus. I was really surprised. And I remember saying on Twitter, because I was still on Twitter then, on a Sock account, and I said, why are people going after these individuals who are being skeptical about COVID? Why is there a need to do that? And then I got attacked for saying that.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. What was really annoying was that the person who took me to task there, or one of them, said that the data is clear. If you haven't bothered to read the scientific data, then that's your problem. But I have read it. I've studied it. And it's clear that this is a terrible killer. He's now been proven wrong.
Yeah, it was an extreme overreaction to something that is very real. COVID-19 is real, and definitely, especially, I think I if you're older or in, like, let's face it, if you're fat or if you're old, it's where it's really dangerous. And I think I saw the UK data. I think the average age of the death was not 82, I believe, the average person that died of this. So, nothing.
When I was a kid, the average age of death was something, I think it was 70 or less than that.
Right.
The idea that, the average age of death is 82 from COVID is, I mean, big deal.
Yeah. I mean, I, and again, I don't mean to, because I was accused of that too, that I wanted to kill grandma or something. I'm like, no, I love grandma. So they should do whatever they need to do to protect themselves, but we can't
shut
down society. And that was the thing I always brought up, is that we need to do a cost-benefit analysis. You always got to do, everything in life has somewhat of a risk, but you got to think of, is it worth the risk and what are the trade-offs? Everything has trade-offs in life. That's part about being, I think, even like a conservative or right wing, you realize there's no really utopia. You just have to say, okay, you just have to weigh, is it worth the risk or not? And to shut everything down, we're seeing the problems now with inflation and supply chain problems, because I've worked in that industry for years. I'm like, you just can't shut shit down without there being a lot of problems that are going to, on the other end, are going to really hurt people. And we've seen it because people, cancer rates have gone up because people haven't had their treatments because they shut everything down. And there's been a huge depression, suicide. So you got to factor all that in. You just can't ignore that side of the equation. And that was my whole point. It wasn't that, yeah, COVID can be dangerous for certain people. Usually if you're young and healthy, it's not much of a risk. But if you're older, yeah, there is a risk there. But what's the appropriate response? And that's what it came down to. And but we're not out of the woods yet. They're trying to do with all these endless variants. And I don't know. People in the United States, I think, are getting really tired and pissed off on this. I don't know about Britain. I think we're getting tired of it.
I think people are starting to tire off it. I mean, the booster thing, you know, there's resistance to taking the booster because people are realizing that the goalposts have been shifted. They were told that they would only need to take two shots of the vaccine and that would be it. And now they're being told that that's not it. And in fact, that it will never be over. They'll need a booster every 6 months. So they're realizing, oh, it's actually a subscription thing. It's actually for the rest of my life, possibly. So I think the powers that be imagined that people would just adapt to that and accept it. Maybe they will in the long run, but there's clearly resistance to it because people feel shortchanged. Well, they feel it's a bait and switch. They've been tricked, and they have been. There's no question. I just want to be clear about what I said earlier about the life expectancy, and so it's no big deal if someone dies at 82. Look, I want to be clear about this. I don't want anyone to die, and I think it's a shame if when someone dies, especially of a disease like COVID. What I meant by that was we now see it as shocking when someone dies at the age of 82, whereas when I was a kid, we didn't even expect anyone to live to 82. That was an anomaly. If someone lived to that age, it was like you'd expect them to die in their 70s or even their 60s. I mean, that was very common 30 years ago, far more than it is now. So therefore, this would not have been, I just don't think it could have been seen as a serious thing 30 years ago, because not many people would live long enough to die from COVID. They would die of something else first. So that's what I meant by that. But obviously, of course, people should take precautions, and of course they should, older people, to protect themselves against COVID. I just want to be clear about that. Now, as for people losing interest, the danger there is they're going to move on to climate change. What would you say about that?
Oh, definitely. In fact, I think they started with climate change and they're trying to hype things up with that. I've heard a name. Who's that autistic girl in Sweden?
Greta Thunberg.
Yeah. How dare you? And it didn't really sell that well over here. And maybe in Europe it did more, but that never really, really caught on. So they needed another crisis. And because all this climate change, well, it's just full of hypocrisy. All these people preaching climate change, like Al Gore, he lives in Tennessee in like this mansion with air conditioning and everything else, and all these rich people buying seaside properties and all these dire predictions that never come true. Kind of reminds me of the Christians that believe in the rapture. The rapture is coming any day now. And then when it doesn't come, they just reset the dates. So climate change never really caught on. But this COVID did. So I think they latched onto this. I don't think they created COVID to do this, but they saw an opportunity. Don't let an opportunity go to waste. But they do definitely want to pivot to climate change and say, okay, maybe we got this COVID thing under control, but it could always flare up. So we got to keep our vaccines every 6 months, get a booster. But now we have another crisis. We have Mother Earth is dying because it's getting too hot or too cold or both. And we got to, you know, you got to eat the Z bugs and all that type of stuff. And so I think definitely they're pivoting to climate change. And then they'll pivot to just like racism, what they call racism and political beliefs. So, yeah, this is pretty is tyrannical. It really is. It's pretty scary what they're trying to implement. Will they be successful? I don't know, because there's a lot of resistance, again, especially in America, and it's not very popular. Biden is one of the least popular presidents ever, and Kamala Harris is somehow even more unpopular. So they have no popularity whatsoever on the left or the right, because he's screwed over the left too. Because all the things that the like Bernie bros thought they were going to get, like, oh, free healthcare, get rid of student loans. Now they don't care about that. They're just all about this anti-white stuff. Transgender stuff, really weird stuff like that, and punishing people, more mandates, and letting criminals go free. Some very unpopular positions that they have right now. And Biden, he's a joke. I mean, he's a senile old man. I predict he may not last next year. I could see him stroking out next year. He's not in the best of health. So
yeah, it amazes me to think that anyone could take him seriously as a president or as a leader. The guy is clearly not in, he's not compos mentis. He can hardly give a straight answer to any question, a coherent answer to any question. Often he doesn't seem to understand what's going on around him.
No, that is true. And I've often said, and I mean this in all seriousness, he could not be on your millennial Yule program here. He couldn't. He wouldn't be able to, he wouldn't be able to sit here and converse with you. He'd get agitated and he'd get mad. And not because of political reasons. He just couldn't understand that. It's, well, for example, you saw they had just many things. It's always, but they had on his speech, they had written out like 57 million boosters, and they wrote it out 57,000,000. And he didn't know how to read that. He was 57. Wait a minute, 570? I can't read it.
Oh, God.
57 million. Oh, yeah, 57 million. That's how bad he is. He can't read basic stuff. He's just really confused. So it'll be interesting in his speech tomorrow if he can get through the teleprompter. They'll pump him full of drugs and maybe he can make it through. But yeah, he's an embarrassment. It's reminds me of the Soviet Union near the end. You're too young, probably remember this, but they had all these aged premiers that ended up dying real quick and they looked out of it. And that's how we are now in the United States. We're supposed to be the most powerful country in the world. We have a dementia patient as our president and a vice president who got there by giving oral sex to guys. I mean, this is where we are in America.
It's a rather depressing summary there. I mean, do you, and I remember you're on Odyssey, so you can say this. What do you think happened with the election last year?
Yeah, well, that's right. We used to talk about that. I think it was very suspicious how all of a sudden in the middle of the night, all those ballots came in. Because when I went to bed, it looked like Trump had won for sure. And then I woke up and I'm like, what the hell happened? And just how they, you know, covered everything. So I think there was some real issues with the election. Let me put it this way. I mean, there's been fraud in American elections. It goes back to the Kennedy. I remember that. My dad had firsthand experience with that in 1960 in Chicago. So, yeah, fraud's a real thing. But what really happened, and this was really sad, we got a lot of these kind of kooky Q people that had all these really weird conspiracies that it didn't really make sense, which sort of discredited the main point that I think should have been looked into, which, by the way, I think is something, a tactic that I think the left may use at times, where is if they're worried about people focusing on a position, they get people to not only support that position, but to add some really kooky stuff to it. So it distracts the whole, it invalidates that whole position. At least that's what they think. So, you know, if you think that, huh, this is kind of weird shenanigans with the late mail-in ballots, but then you have someone say, oh yeah, it's because of all these secret forces and Dominion and all that, I think that ends up discrediting what could be a valid thing. So, that was a strange time too. And that whole January 6th thing was strange, but it's been a strange year. I don't know about you, millennial, but things just seem to be getting weirder by the every year. That when I was a kid, it'd be like, what the hell is this? You know, we have like, I don't know, in we have this woman now that's breaking all the college swimming records, and she goes to the University of Pennsylvania. But 2 months ago, she was a man. But now she determined, no, she was always a woman trapped in the wrong body. Now she's just breaking all the records. And we gotta pretend this is a woman doing it, even though she has a penis. So,
yeah, I mean, things are clearly, you know, weird, as you say, and they're accelerating as well.
Yeah.
It used to be that you'd go through years without anything significant happening. And now it feels like almost every month there's some milestone event, not huge like COVID or, you know, 9/11, but pretty damn significant that sort of changes the tone of things. It's quite incredible that, and I don't really know why that is. Maybe it's something spiritual, something metaphysical that we can't quite grasp. But either way, things seem to be accelerating.
Yeah, I definitely do. It's a very strange time, but it's an exciting time too, I guess. But I could use for some more peace and quiet now. I would love a day when we have self-determination and we can kind of live a boring life for our dissidents, where they can just live happy and not have all this weird stuff going on. I think that would be nice for now.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. This is the whole thing about the Chinese proverb, may you live in interesting times.
Right.
Well, we do, but it gets tiring. It's like sometimes I find myself thinking, wouldn't it just be nice if it all just stopped? And you know, we could just relax. There'd be normality, and you know, there, of course, you know, there's no hope of that at this point. Unfortunately, we're in a sort of whirlwind, I think.
I agree. And we have that expression in the United States. I don't know if you in Britain grill a lot, but people I just want to grill. And there's a lot of people, what that means is they just want to have their backyard parties, have their friends, go to work, go on vacation. They don't want to deal with all this weird bullshit. And it's probably universal. You find that's true in Britain too? People have that feeling?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think that most people are, and I've said this on Millennial, I think that most people are apolitical.
They
don't want to know about it. It's an annoyance, you know, that every 4 or 5 years they have to go and vote. Mm-hmm. But that, I think that's the attitude of most people. Everyone else is well. That's what you. Everyone else is on Twitter, and they are politically engaged, and it's
crazy.
It's polarized.
Yeah.
So you get the extremes on there. I mean, you have somehow managed to stay on YouTube, and you're still on Twitter, aren't you?
Yeah. You just have to be careful what you say. And there's things that I realize that will get you nuked off Twitter. For example, if a leftist can attack you all day long, and you can respond usually once, but that's it. If you respond more than once, they'll consider that harassment, no matter they've attacked you many times. So in general, I don't engage much with leftists. I may do a quip, but that's it. Just once and I move on. So you got to be kind of careful how you state things, and it's always very clever. You can get your message across in most environments, but the algorithm picks up certain phrases, and you got to move on from certain phrases that were funny at the time, but then they pick up on it. For example, on Twitter, you remember years ago they used the parentheses to indicate someone. That was funny, but you had to move on quick from that because they picked up on that, and you know, so it's always.
I believe that even the term NPC at one point, I don't know if it's still the case, but even that, it was people who were using the NPC in their username. Mm-hmm. Twitter did an algorithm, you know, they ran an algorithm to just delete everyone who was doing that. And that, so that was like, I don't know, thousands of accounts just gone. That was ages ago. Because that was just before I got, the NPC meme I remember came out like the week before I got banned. It's something that I remember noting at the time. So it's actually about like 3 years ago now. But it's one of those memes that has persisted for all these reasons.
It's a great meme because it's true. And I think you could probably use that meme now on Twitter, because this is what's weird about the censorship of these social media platforms, especially true of YouTube, and I've always been frustrated. You could publish something and it could be fine within the terms of service, but then years later, they can change the terms of service. Then retroactively, they can give you a strike on a video you did 5 years prior, which five years ago, that's called ex post facto justice, which is against the whole Western ideal of justice.
Yeah.
But that's what they do. So I had to do all my old videos. I had to move them to BitChute, delete them from YouTube, because I had thousands and a lot of them were funny. And at the time they were fine. YouTube didn't have an issue with them. but I couldn't risk some old video being out there and strike. I saw like a few months ago, Brittany Vinti said she got a strike on a video from 5 years ago. It's a video no one watches anymore, totally forgot about, but some goofball went through there and looked at it, was offended and flagged it.
Yeah, there was somebody else on Millennial who, I can't remember who it was now, but he had a video from 2017 that got flagged, it got a strike just a couple of weeks ago. I mean, that really, again, if we lived in a sane society, Google would not be allowed to do that to people.
Right.
It's obviously unjust and unfair. But yeah, they've just got so much influence now. As I've said on my own show, that it's getting to the point where they're more powerful. The big tech corporations are more powerful than some countries.
By far, yeah. And even recent stuff like Happy Homelands I did with Styx and Tina, we talked about COVID. I had to pull all those videos because it was fine at the time. But now YouTube, the one strike I did get, I was on about COVID and it was on Happy Homelands, but they wouldn't say what we said exactly. They said it was medical misinformation. And that's another thing that pisses me off. I would love to have them say, well, what exactly did I say that offended you? But they won't do that. They'll just give you some vague thing. And then you can appeal it, but it's like, yeah, fuck off, they say, and they don't care. So,
yeah, because they're not going to, it's not in their interest to take the time to go through the video again and check it. I mean, they have no reason to do that. They have no incentive to do that. So they're not going to. And also, it would mean doing you a favor, removing that strike. So, again, they have no reason to do that. This is to do with how powerful they are, because no one is going to hold them to account for that. Right. And again, I've said this many times. This is not a morally tenable situation, but that doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, it's funny, though, and we talked about how you have to adjust your language, though. We can talk about a little bit, but we have to say stuff like, well, you know, this thing that happens that, you know, you're being forced to do this, and, you know, this can, we just, you know, so you're saying things without saying it, but everyone knows what you're talking about. It's like the old Soviet era or something. It's not really a healthy, if you're in a free society, to have to be talking like that, where you have to talk in all this obscure code where people pick it up.
I think if you went back to the 90s and said, one day you'll have to do this, people wouldn't believe you. They'd think you were joking.
Yeah, they really would. It's a sad situation, because you should be able to talk freely about any subject. And this shocks me, because I am so old. I remember when the leftists were like, well, if something offends you on TV, just turn the channel. You know, don't censor. That was their whole thing. And so that's how the internet used to be. And when first censorship came on with videos, I was shocked, because I didn't understand it. I'm like, well, if you don't like someone's videos, there's a solution. It's like, don't watch them, you know, and there's like millions of videos out there. It's simple. It's not that hard. Or if someone you don't like on Twitter, block them and you're done with them. So it really surprised me, this totalitarian mindset that has really seeped into our country, and people really think this way. And it's really spread. The slippery slope is real, because you remember it started with this Nazi stuff, but now it's basic bitch MAGA people being censored. So,
well, so anyone who says something about COVID or the US election, that you could be screwed for that.
Yes.
I mean, about the left, I remember the 90s. The left were the ones who were crowing about freedom of speech then. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is, I think, the change point was somewhere around 2005, where it switched from they now want. I'd love to go back in time and see this happening, see it playing out, because you would be aware of it this time. At the time, you weren't aware of it, but it was like they changed from, well, we need maximum freedom of speech, and if someone's offended, then they're choosing to be offended. Mm-hmm. One of those new atheist guys said this: offense is taken, not given. And very clever, but that's used to justify just obscenity, which is what the left wanted. They wanted the right to just show obscene gore and extreme violence.
Right.
In films, that kind of stuff, because it was outrageous to. And I remember them saying this. They would say to restrict the creative vision of the director, things like that, phrases like that. That the creative, the artistic mind, it should be allowed to be pure. It should be allowed to be not curtailed, not censored, not forced to do this or that. Now they, I mean, it's completely different. The left have completely, and for younger people, it's probably difficult for them to conceive of how fundamental this change has been. The left are the almost the polar opposite of how they were 20, 30 years ago, at least in their attitude. They are now the ones who are hysterical and censorious and dictatorial, whereas 30 years ago, that was complete opposite.
Yeah, I think they were just using that so they could get in, and then once they gained power, then they would restrict speech. So, yeah, a lot of us probably should have seen that coming, that they weren't really had good faith with their position.
No. And as I say, I think the change was about 2005. And thereafter, they started saying, well, that shouldn't be allowed because that's just offending people. That's just hurtful. And that's just bigoted. And that's spreading hatred. And that's inciting violence. And now it's that's doing psychological harm. And that's what they're saying in Britain.
Yeah.
And of course, broad that it could encompass anything.
Yeah, and that keeps expanding. Like, I remember the first thing that I was really shocked. This even went back to my university days. I was shocked that anyone would want to censor anything, especially with non-sexual, just like a historical event, I won't say. And it was like, really? I mean, you should be able to talk about anything. But it started there, but now we got everything. They're climate change. They're talking about being able to, you're a denialist if you don't believe in climate change. And these are the people that say, I love fucking science. And I'm like, well, you don't really love science, because first of all, science is not something you love. Science is the methodology, and it's not a thing. It's how you determine the objective truth. And you have a hypothesis, and you look at the data, and if the data doesn't fit your hypothesis, that's science.
But you'd have to, it's a process, and you'd have to be completely autistic to love that. Normal people don't.
It's not blind faith. And now they're trying to say science is like blind faith and Fauci. And part of science, like in climate change, I'm not going to get involved with the debate one way or the other, but part of science is you welcome objections, because sometimes you forces you to re-look at things differently, because ideally you want to get at the truth. And I know that's hard. It's always been hard in science when you may build this nice theory and you get one data point that could just make it all crumble apart. And that can be rough as us humans, because we get egos invested. But at times we need that. We need to encourage different point of views. Now, some of them are wacky, but then we say, okay, here's why your wacky point of view is not true. It's, like flat earth. I mean, it's wacky, but I don't think we should ban that type of discussion. You can explain, here's how you can tell that the earth is a sphere. This is how it should be. It should be done for any historical topic. It should be done for any medical topic. And then it changes so quickly, because you saw on Twitter, Twitter came out with a policy that said, this was just a couple months ago, that if you claim that people that have the vaccine can become infected and pass it on to someone else, we're going to ban you, because that's not, that's medical misinformation. And now it's just like, this is the official position. Yeah, you can get it and pass it on. And all these people are getting it. So it's like within a period of weeks, it's just bizarre.
Yeah, and this is the thing about science. Science changes all the time. The scientific consensus changes all the time. So to try to enforce, it's absurd to try to enforce the current thing as absolute truth. And anyone who disagrees with it, you censor them.
Well, it's the religion at that point. Once you get to that point, you're dealing with religion, where you don't allow objections to something. And a lot of the things that we have right now, which I would call global warming, COVID, in many cases, they have become an act of faith and religion. It's not science, for the most part.
Well, and then you've got the absurdities of the trans stuff, where that penis is female. Because the guy, well, sorry, shit, fuck, I didn't mean that. Because the owner of it is declaring themselves to be a female. So that means that the penis and balls are female penis and balls.
Right, like, and this is
ridiculous.
This is the clown world in California. This woman went into the restroom or showers, and other women were complaining because she was pulling out her penis and masturbating in front of the other women with her penis. And it's just like, it's the emperor has no clothes type of thing. So someone has just got to say, no, that's a dude that's pretending to be a woman. I mean, and that's is just people, I think, yearn for the truth. And I'm optimistic. I think eventually there's kind of it kind of goes back and forth because it can get so crazy. We're seeing this in the United States, I think, even in our politics, that some of the Democrats are like, what in the hell is happening with our party? We used to be about workers' rights and, you know, maybe the environment, maybe about healthcare. We weren't about this weird sexual stuff and weird race hating. And so you're seeing a lot of the older school Democrats being very uncomfortable with this new, like, woke Bolshevik type stuff. And so I think we're seeing a little split in the Democratic Party.
Well, I hope so. It doesn't seem to be happening in Britain, I've got to say. But I don't know. Maybe I'm not as familiar with that stuff as I should be.
Because your Liberal Party is Labour, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, they're not even liberal.
yeah. But,
okay. There are actually quite a lot of questions that have come in. Ramsey Paul, given your COVID skepticism, I can't read out that name. I'm sorry. Finkel something. Ramsey Paul, given your COVID skepticism, which I must belatedly admit you were right about, must we all dump Trump, given his continued defense of useless vaccines, as seen in his recent interview with Bill O'Reilly? Well, let me just say first, I don't know if the vaccine is literally useless. It might have a protective effect for older people, right? But I also do think it has side effects. But anyway, Ramsey Paul, what would you say about that?
Yeah, getting to the vaccine, I think it should be your personal choice with you and your doctor. I know this sounds like a radical position. First of all, it's not really a vaccine. It's a therapy but it should be between you and your doctor. And you got to look at the potential risk versus the potential benefits. And I think that may change based on your age, your medical condition. So I'm not one to tell anyone. If someone wants to take the vaccine, that's fine with me. Regarding Trump, I was disappointed in many ways with Trump. I could go on forever about that. I would support him over Biden, and I did support him over Biden in the election. And in politics, sometimes you don't get the perfect person. But Trump says a lot of cringy boomer stuff like he did last week. Did you see that he was mad about the Jews in America don't love Israel enough like he does? And it just got, it's a weird thing he went on, but
tiresome.
Yeah, and so it was strange, but he's kind of sometimes gets into that boomer conservatism thing. And millennial, you may not have this in England, but we have this weird Christian Zionism here it's hard to explain, but it's about the end times, and if we love Israel, Jesus will come back and all that. I don't know if you guys have that, but we have that strain in the United States. It's kind of going away, but it's still with the older people, it's still there.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. I think it is quite specific to America.
Yeah.
sorry to tell you. Okay, the same person accosts you now. Ramsey Paul, given the wood paneling in your house, you have to admit that you are, in fact, a boomer.
This isn't even my house. I'm in Sasha's apartment, and my house is in the country, and it's isolated, and I don't have my internet in because it's so isolated, but they're planning to put it in January or February, so I'm just here temporarily. But I am a boomer when it comes sometimes to tech and that sort of thing. So it doesn't really bother me. So, yeah, this is a very 70s. I think this was literally put up in the 70s.
I was going to say, it reminds me of Twin Peaks, the Shadows station in that.
Yeah, so it's retro. So
that's nice. I like it. Maybe just because it reminds me of my childhood, you know. I'm not saying that it's objectively a nice thing, but anyway. I think it is, but anyway.
I don't like it, but yeah, whatever.
Okay. Unknown Californian says, Ramsey Paul is a cool dude. Much respect for his old school gamer status. I love when he talks about gaming in the 80s and 90s.
Oh yeah, I love that. One of my first games I played in the arcade was Robotron, and I was always a big gamer. I like board games. In fact, we have a gaming group here, and every month we get people together. It's kind of people that have our point of views. We get together and kind of fellowship, but we play games, board games, and stuff. So, It's a good way to educate people too, because some of the younger people, I mean, I love them, but they're just not sometimes the most educated. There's this one girl, she's in college. Sasha's laughing. She's a sweet girl, but we're playing. Have you heard of the game Axis and Allies? Millennial War? This about
World War II. I'm afraid not. No.
And you could play, you know, the Germans or the US and everything, and you pick your side. And she didn't know. She's like, well, was the United States on the side of the Germans in World War II? And I'm like, no. So it was, you know, yeah.
Is she American?
Yes.
How old is she?
20. Hold on. 21.
Fucking hell.
So there is some people that don't know some basics. Like, I thought everyone knew that the United States was not on the side of the Germans in World War II. But yeah, no.
All right. That's amazing. Okay. I wanted to ask, based on that, about the game.
Oh, we have even weirder stories. We have another guy that got to here, and this isn't a troll. His like cousin or sister, she didn't know until for the longest time that the sun and the moon were two different things. She just thought the sun became the moon at night. I was like, no, that has to be fake. She goes, no, she really believed that.
Wow, that's amazing. All right,
yeah, I'm not really representing the South. Okay,
all right.
She's North. She's a Yankee, so okay, but still, yeah.
I mean, I doubt it's much better. I would imagine that it's fairly at this stage that, well, you know, an American would know better than me, but it seems to me that it's likely that, you know, that this stuff is all homogenous. But anyway, yeah, I wanted to ask you about the gaming. Did you ever have a Sega Genesis?
No, Sasha did. You said you didn't? I didn't. Sasha did. She just said yes. I had Nintendo and Mario Brothers, if you remember that game.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. You jump on the turtles and stuff, yeah.
I had that in Super Mario 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, and I beat them all. I'm not saying that to, you know, brag or anything or try to impress. What was your favorite Mario game, Sasha asked?
Well, as I say, those were the only three that I had. The third one.
The third one.
Me too.
Sasha too. I like the first one, and I just had fun with that one.
Yeah. The second one was weird. It didn't quite fit in. It was a bit strange. But I did quite like it.
And then I, when the internet came out, I played some online games like Asheron's Call. It was kind of based like on EverQuest or Ultimate Online. And then I went briefly through a World of Warcraft phase when it first came out back in 2005 or 2006. I was one of the first people to play it. In fact, did you, statue, but yeah.
Did you ever play Unreal?
I haven't played that. I did play Half-Life. And right. I have a Half-Life hat I like to wear to impress the girls like I'm cool. So, but unfortunately, it's just guys that recognize that hat, the Half-Life hat. So.
Right. So you weren't a Sega guy then. You were Nintendo.
Yes. And then before games came out, I played in college Dungeons & Dragons. And Sasha says that means I'm a nerd, but I don't think it does because I think the cool people play Dungeons & Dragons. So.
All right.
You see that was in the news, though. They're changing that because it was racist because orcs had like a lower intelligence. Did you see that?
For fuck's sake.
They did. Like, well, obviously, this orcs represent a certain racial group, right? And I'm like, what? No, they're a different species, but no. So they have to homogenize it because it's racist if dwarves have different attributes than orcs and elves because, you know, racism.
All right. The other thing I wanted to ask you is the Sega Game Gear. Now, obviously, if you didn't have Sega, then it wouldn't apply to you. But Sasha, did Sasha ever have a Sega Game Gear?
No.
No, she didn't.
Ah, right. Okay. That's a shame. I had one. I loved it. Okay. That was their rival to the Game Boy. Yeah. Anyway.
I did play Game Boy a little bit when that came out, you know.
Right.
Did you play that stupid game? I saw this was a real fad. Maybe it wasn't in Britain when these idiots were running around Pokemon Go, I think it was.
That like, was after my time.
Did that happen in Britain? Please tell me it didn't happen there. It happened in America. All these people wandering around parks and shit.
Wait, was that like in 2008?
Yeah, you remember they were wandering around trying to catch these things in the wild?
Yeah. I was well out of gaming by then. I mean, it did happen. It did happen in Britain.
I remember the controversy because someone like caught a Pokemon in Auschwitz, and they thought that they had to rechange the coding because, you know, you could go to various sites and catch, I guess, Pokemons, right? Is that how it worked?
Yeah, people getting car accidents.
Yeah, people getting car wrecks and everything. But I never did that. I never captured a Pokemon, so.
Okay. Has Rams ever been to Scotland?
No, I wonder when I was just telling a millennial woes that a millennial, if I ever go to Scotland, you're in the area, you got to show me around and let me do all the Scottish things, whatever you guys do.
I'll introduce you to Nessie.
Nessie, yes. And everyone runs around in a kilt and you throw big stones for some reason.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's that up in the Highlands. Yeah, yeah. I forgot what it's called. Is it tossing the caber? I think that's a piece of wood. Let me see.
When was the last time you tossed a caber? If it's not too personal of a question. And how far can you toss one?
Come on, I'm not. I can't possibly answer that.
I want to toss a caber. Do women toss cabers, or is it just men that toss cabers?
Well, there are female cabers nowadays, yeah.
But
if you know what I mean. All right. For Ramsey, Paul, and Woz, must we always think of what we do have rather than what we do not have? Their side has money and power, and so that's a very change of tone. Sorry, I didn't realize that. Their side has money and power and censorship. Our side has the truth and the moral high ground. Look what the other side wants compared to what we want.
You know, I get up every day and I'm like, wow, I'm alive and this is wonderful. So I really am blessed with life. And I think I've learned to have a spirit of gratitude because it's easy, at least for me, to struggle with envy. People have more money or whatever. But when you understand that it's really a beautiful world out there and it's kind of an adventure, yeah, we have struggles, but I have a good time with it. I'm pretty happy. And you're right. A lot of the people on the left, they have everything. They're very miserable people. So I think it's good to have a positive outlook and not get too black-pilled on everything and just enjoy the fellowship. Even in the past, I'm so blessed being able to go to Finland, meet someone like Millennial Woes in person. I mean, what a great experience in life. And so, yeah, there's been a lot of struggles and downsides, but there's been so many good things too.
Yeah. Okay. Woes may find this interesting, but Americans like myself and Ramsey Paul used to think that Europe would wake up first and elect a nationalist leader somewhere. However, now, looking at France, Germany and the UK, what has changed? USA has worse demographics, but I do not see these countries changing. Well, I mean, there is France and Eric Zemmour. I think that France is actually heating up, and this is regardless of what you might think of Eric Zemmour. I think that France is probably going to be, I think it's probably going to, you know, erupt in some kind of civil war or civil unrest at any rate. I think it will be the first country to go at this point because the tensions are just there, clearly. Even because for us and for me, COVID has been this far more salient, immediate issue for the last few years. But clearly for the French, the Great Replacement is still, if not number one, then it's still definitely on their minds because there was a poll quoted, I think it was 67% of French citizens believe that the Great Replacement is happening, as they should. And, you know, it should be pretty damn obvious that it's happening. But still, that's a very high percent. I mean, they literally believe that they are being their people are being replaced. Their ethnic group is being replaced. That's quite incredible. And I don't think it can, I don't think they're going to be docile about that for very much longer.
In America, it's a troubling time now too. They did a poll, like I think 52% of Republicans support secession. It's like, wow. I mean, this used to be a real fringe position like I would have, but now it's like the majority of Republicans, like 40% of Democrats do. It's like people are realizing we just don't get along. Maybe we need separate countries. It's not like it came down from Moses that the United States needs to have 50 states. It could be restructured. I here in Arkansas, we don't have much in common with California. Why should we be, you know, hooked together with them? Hawaii? Hawaii has nothing to do with the United States, really, but they still get two senators. So I think all over, it's going to be a volatile time, not just in Europe, but also in the United States. And then you have, you know, what's going to happen with Russia and Ukraine and China and Taiwan. We got a lot of things that are going to make things quite interesting going forward.
Yeah, definitely. Ramsey Paul is one of the funniest U.S. dissidents. Hugh from On the Offensive is the funniest English dissident. I hope he makes a return. Well, I'll pass that on to him, but I think that he is pretty checked out. I think that he doesn't want any more involvement in this stuff. I think he wanted to move on with his life, and quite a lot of people have asked me why I didn't have him on this year, and that's the reason. I got the last time I communicated with him, I got the distinct impression that he's lost interest in this. Now, I'm sorry to say that, because, you know, he is a really nice guy and a decent guy. But, you know, there's only so much that people can take. And, you know, the life of being a dissident is a difficult one. So, you know, that's just human realities, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and everyone has a different role. A lot of people behind the scenes do a lot of great work, and they support people, and they do a lot of other things. So not everyone needs to be in front of the camera, and not everyone needs to have a blog or a podcast. In fact, you know, there's only so much that need that. We need people to help support. We need people that are in the legal system, running for office, just normal businessmen. You know, so it's not like... And you could go through different phases of your life, what you do. So, and that's perfectly, I think, valid too. So we should respect that.
Yeah, absolutely. For you both, Generation Z, the Zoomers, will be the ones we must rely on to do heavy lifting here. What are your observations of them? It seems that they are the most compliant generation ever.
I'm always, you know, let you go next, but I'm always leery about these generational questions, because I remember, even when you get old like me, you were young once, and I can remember when older people talk to my generation, like, oh, you guys are a bunch of lazy bums, you know, that are apathetic, and you got to be careful with that a little bit, because at different times in your life, you kind of approach things differently, so... I don't know. I think there's some good people in Generation Z. We call it, by the way, instead of Z, we call it Z here. But, you know, I don't know. It's American. So, like Ramsey here, we spell S-E-Y, not S-A-Y, so because we're American. So.
It's not Ramzed Paul.
Yeah. I've heard someone in Britain, when they were taught, they're upset about me. Who's someone named Ramzed Paul? I'm like, no, it's Ramzed Paul. So, I mean, it's like, damn it. That's why we broke away from you guys, so we can pronounce, we can spell our own spellings and pronounce it our ways. So, So I don't know. I'm not big into the whole generational thing. I think we need to be very careful about that. I don't think other nationalities really get into that as much as we white people do.
Yeah. And also, I think it is fairly specific to the Anglosphere as well. Yeah, I would agree that there is a danger in expecting that, because once you divide people into generations, you then expect them to behave differently. So you think, well, once the Zoomers take over, or once they become parents, or once they are in their 20s, there'll be a big cultural change. But it doesn't seem to happen. I mean, with the millennials just, like, culture just morphed quite smoothly from Gen X, that era, to what we have now. There wasn't a moment when, right, okay, now it's the millennial era. It just doesn't happen like that, for the same reason that there aren't hard divisions between these generations. It evolves from one to the other. But as for the general, I just don't know. I don't have friends who are teenagers. For, you know, it would be kind of ridiculous if I did. And I don't have kids. It's difficult for me to comment on this. I can only go by what other people say. And what other people say is there is a minority among that generation who are hardcore red-pilled. But most of them, like three quarters or more, are just absolute, a complete disaster, like car crash of progressivism and Marxism. So, and very, very, as you said, compliant, very obedient, and a mess. I mean, I had a guy on a few nights ago, Ryan Turnipseed, who's 18, and he was talking about his generation, the Zoomers, and it just sounded awful. You know, they're already broken. They're already screwed. I mean, it used to be that the deficiencies of a generation would become apparent in their 30s or 40s. In the millennial case, maybe their 20s. But now with the Zoomers, it's like he can already see all of these problems in them that are already having terrible effects for them. So,
Yeah, I think one of the things is I'm real thankful I didn't grow up in this era of social media and everyone having phones, because I don't know about you, millennial, but I did some stupid shit as a teenager. And it'd be horrible if that just follows you forever, you know, always on the internet. And that's the way it is now. And I think kids need to be away from social media.
Well, exactly. I mean, I'm very glad that everything wasn't recorded. Mm-hmm. Not that, you know, it's not like I killed anyone or something like that, but I'm glad that we had the freedom to fuck around and fuck up and make mistakes and say stupid things, because nobody was recording you in those days. Nowadays, I think you could end up like 20 years from now, some guy's in his 40s. He's and then a recording comes out of him when he was 17 saying something, and saying something just dumbass that a 17-year-old says, right, and it's used against him in his 40s. I mean, that's already that kind of thing.
That's already happened where people, and you have to look at the eras where people would say stuff different. Like, I mean, my generation, when I was in school, we called everyone the F word. I won't say on here. I don't know what we could say here, but it's no big deal. It didn't mean you were literally a homosexual. It's just, oh, don't be such a, you know, and that was how it was. Or but I guess in Britain, that was your word for a cigarette, right? Cigarette?
Yeah. We had a different word for that, which no one uses anymore, which was poof. No one says that now. Everyone says the American word nowadays. It's another example of, you know, the cultural imperialism of America. But we used to have a funny word of our own, which is, oh, he's such a poof. So, but yeah, that's gone the way of opera and disco music. So, all right, there was another. Oh yeah, someone said Sega for the win. Golden Axe is so hyperborean. I think he means. Emulate it, Ramsey Paul. Do you know about emulators?
I've used some emulators to play some old games on my PC. It was fun. So, because a lot of the old games, even though the graphics now suck,
they're charming though for that. Though, aren't they?
They had a lot of interesting gameplay, and there's a lot of modern games that look good, but they're not interesting. So I like to see, first you need to have an interesting gameplay. That's what's more important than anything else. And what's like a movie? If you have an interesting movie, you don't necessarily need all the best special effects. You could have the best special effects, but if the plot sucks, you know, I don't know. I'd rather have an interesting game.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. But I would also say that I like old school graphics. I think they've got a real charm to them.
That's
a thing in itself for me. I mean, for loads of people as well. You know, all this pixel art and 8-bit. You know, it's a thing now. People are very fond of it.
Well, sometimes the technology, I don't know if in Europe it does, but here in the United States, like I now, it's real popular. People are now getting vinyl and, you know, the record players, and it used to be all digital. Now there's kind of a move back to, I don't know if that happens in Europe, but here it's popular.
Yeah, it is. It has been since that resurged in the late 90s. So vinyl was only out for out of fashion for not even 10 years before it came back as a sort of hipster thing.
Yeah, but it's continued. It's still very popular.
Yeah, it's never gone. Because the fact is that it just does sound, if not better, then well, you know, different.
It has a soul to it, even it though does. Technically the digital is probably technically better, but I like the feel of a.
It does. It's yeah. not, because people take the piss out of this and they say it's pretentious to like vinyl, but it's not. It just, it is yeah. objectively a nice thing. Okay. For Woes, does a group like the ADL exist in Scotland or Europe? As Ramsey can explain, the ADL condemns in us what they support in for themselves. All social media has changed thanks to them. Well, yeah, there are multiple groups. There's like one in each country. I think the one in Sweden is called Expo, for example. The one in Britain would be called Hope Not Hate. But right. what I would say is that they're not as explicitly ethnic as the ADL and the SPLC are. That their funding is, but the people involved apparently not. So I'm not sure. It's but yeah, they definitely do the same stuff. They do exactly the same stuff as the ADL and the SPLC do. Yeah. So, and yeah, they are condemning in us what they support. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the hypocrisy of the ADL and the SPLC is just mind-boggling. Yeah, I know about how it was founded in the first place. It was to protect one of their own, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, it's really shocking. Like in America, they literally want to make it illegal to boycott their ethno state. I mean, it's, but any other country like Scotland, to say Scotland should be for the Scottish people, that's Nazism. But to suggest like, oh, well, how about Israel then? Should it be open to everyone? It's like, what are you, a Nazi? Of course it should be for us Jewish people.
Yeah, yeah. Why are you anti-Semitic? You must hate us. If you want us to have mass immigration, it's because you hate us. But right. I want you to have mass immigration because that's what's best for you.
And yeah, it's a lot of, well, I guess the Yiddish word is chutzpah. It's just amazing. It just makes your jaw drop, but they don't really care. It's just like, well, this is how it is. And yeah. They just keep going forward. And so they never really do explain that, but they don't feel like they need to explain it. They just call you a bad word.
No, whereas they've got us in a position where we feel we need to explain ourselves all the right. time. And that's the problem. You know, if you have a sort of arrogance and you don't feel you need to explain yourself,
right.
then that seems to be how to win, frankly. All right. Science has become scientism with a dollar sign. It's the new religion. Oligarchs fund the science and their employees must find the results that fit their narrative. Yes, and this is what's been said about COVID, climate change, and other things. So, yeah, and we've covered that, I think, unless there's anything you want to say about that.
No, it's gone back a long time. Whenever you're right. funded, you want to produce the results that are going to make your people that are funding you happy.
Yeah, exactly. One thing that's never spoken about regarding COVID-19 is that people weren't receiving any treatment for it at the start. Monoclonal antibodies and other treatments were either hard to get or frowned upon. Those deaths were deliberate. And there's also the banning of ivermectin and I think hydrochloroquine and others, which, now I'm not saying that ivermectin or hydrochloroquine are fantastic treatments for COVID. What is interesting is that I know, in fact, wasn't Joe Rogan, didn't mm-hmm. he take it, ivermectin, right. for COVID?
Yeah. That's horse paste. That's what they give horses.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they also give that to humans for years, yeah. But
yeah, yeah. And I've heard firsthand accounts from various people claiming that they, not Joe Rogan, but other people saying that they got ivermectin, they got hold of it. They got hold of some of it, and it worked for them. They had COVID, and this worked for them. So it's difficult to conclude other than that this has been deliberately and unjustly suppressed as to maximize the market for the mRNA vaccines.
Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, you'd have to do real studies, but it is kind of interesting how they did that, because part of the issue is, even if you take nothing, most people, they just get better anyway. So the problem is, you can be sick with COVID, you take whatever, eat an apple, and then you get better. And you can say, hey, apples are curing COVID. Well, you know, you're going to get better anyway. So,
yeah. Okay. A few. Okay. Well, we'll rattle through these quick, because I'm starting to get tired now. And I suspect you are as well.
Yeah. What time is it over there where you are?
It's 4:10 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
But I get nocturnal for millennials, so it isn't as bad as you think. I mean, I haven't been up since 8 yesterday, so it's okay. Well, I have, not 8 a.m. Okay, solid, this is from Soccer City, solid predictive data about the death rate of COVID was available in March to April 2020. Mm-hmm. So solid predictive data. And it's been ignored by the media and most of academia for almost 2 years now. So they could have known back then that it wasn't going to be a big killer, but they've chosen to ignore that data, according to this person. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what this person is saying.
Yeah, it became political.
Yeah. Okay. Few people in New York City are wearing... This is from Winter Phoenix Forest, Karen. Few people in New York City are wearing masks. You have to wear them in a few places. Lots of people are ignoring it. Well, I heard that they were worried about certain minorities refusing to comply with these regulations, so they had to water it down in some way. I'm not sure if that's true. Bain of Crenshaw says, when asked to give a comment, Biden said, who? And asked for a new bedpan. Okay. Woz, in a previous talk, this was with Petter Hampel, you and your guest were discussing ways to identify sociopaths. But I wonder, have you ever had a run-in with a sociopath that you could shed some light on as an example? Like maybe you met one at a... Ramsey's story about being told on... Sociopaths, I'd rather not talk about personal experiences that I've had for obvious reasons. Apart from anything else, I don't want to give them satisfaction.
That's a good point. Actually, it's better. A lot of these people are very narcissistic and they like to be talked about, good or bad. They just want to be talked about. So it's best.
And they like the idea that they're getting to you, that you're still talking about them. But the thing to do, as soon as you assume that someone is a sociopath, and also if other people have told you. See, this is what I find very frustrating, is that with two different people, I became convinced that these two people are sociopaths. And it happened separately, separate incidents, separate people. And I would warn other people, don't trust that guy and don't promote him. But they wouldn't believe me. So the sociopath was free to continue doing his destructive work. And I think people have a sort of blind spot where they think if someone warns you about person X, it's because they've had a falling out. It's nothing serious. So then they have to learn the hard way, though, actually, it is serious. And it wasn't just a trivial falling out. This guy actually is a fucking nutcase. So it's frustrating how people have to learn the hard way, because that endangers everyone else. Because in a community, you know, it'd be better if people just trusted my judgment in this case and just fucking believed me. But anyway, it's what I would say is, in both of those cases, the people involved, the sociopaths that I believe are sociopaths, they've now gone on to just basically disgrace themselves at this point. So nobody trusts them anymore. So that's good. And don't try to guess who I'm talking about, because it's not public figures. As for how to identify them, judge how often you've seen them doing something for other people. If I'd known this in advance, it would have saved me a lot of trouble. Something that sociopaths do is they convince you that you need them and that they can be of help to you. But mysteriously, the help never arrives. They never actually do that thing that they've been promising you. Meantime, they get you to help them and do things for them. So judge that very harshly. Don't be afraid to judge them very harshly for that, because they're probably bullshitting you and they might well be a sociopath. Also, have a look at how they behave with other people, and have you ever seen them going out of their way for someone else? If not, that's a pretty bad sign. Doesn't mean that they are definitely a sociopath, but it's a bad sign. Okay, so, and then if you are convinced that someone is like that, just fucking cut ties with them. Don't give them a second chance. Definitely don't give them a third chance. Just cut ties, but try to do it in such a way that will not infuriate them, for obvious reasons. So, all right. Okay, Ramsey, someone's asking, have you had the vaccine?
If I had the vaccine, I don't think I want to answer that. Should I answer that?
Oh, I don't know. If you don't want to, don't answer it.
Okay. I won't answer that if that's okay.
All right.
The reason is because of potentially where we're going in this country. I think that sort of thing is better to keep confidential.
Yeah.
You know, some of us don't want to end up in concentration camps or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. I understand. Does the U.S. have more or less time than Europe to reach demographic doom? Kevin McDonald felt the U.S. is a lost cause.
Well, I think the U.S. was a lost cause by 1865. But I look at our nation as our people, you know, kindred blood, customs, language, and whatever. And I think our people are always going to be okay. The countries may change and everything, but I don't. You just can't look at it as if you're saying the United States the way it is now. Yeah, it's a lost cause, but things are always changing, and it's always changed. And the history of Great Britain has changed quite a bit over the years. So there's always going to be changes, but I think our people will carry on. I'm convinced of that. And that's what we need to look at. I care about the nation more than I do the country. And there's a difference between the two. So although like millennial, he's kind of a kindred spirit because even we're kind of like cousins because we broke off from you guys. But, you know, we're very similar, basically. You know, the United States was founded by the English. And that's, you know, it was an English colony. So.
Yeah, and some areas of it were more found by, well, or developed by the Scots. So,
in fact, the South is heavily Scottish, so, and
yeah.
They've actually traced a lot of the Southern country Western music. It has its roots in from Scotland. It's sort of an interesting thing. So,
yeah, exactly. Okay, lefties, this is Bane of Crenshaw. Lefties have been minority-loving sexual degenerates for a long time. It's just now reached critical mass. All right. Probably, yeah. Mario Kart forever. That's a nice contrast. That's the same guy saying different comments. Okay, what prompted you to call your show Happy Homelands?
I wanted to do something that was positive because I believe in the concept of homelands, you know, like Finland or France or the UK or America. And I wanted to think of it in the happy terms. And I didn't want anything that came across too, you know, with like tanks or anything like that. It's just, I think people want a homeland that's happy and they're, you know, it's not based on hate, but you're with people you love and your community. And that was the spirit I wanted to convey of that. So part of it was not to raise any red flags that would come across as too strident. And it's not meant to be strident. I like to see homelands. And I've been able to have a lot of different guests on from different countries. And so it's been a really good thing.
Mm. Okay. Celtic Canadian says, speaking as a Zoomer, it's hard not to feel resentful of the older generations. The world that I see when I look at old films looks wonderful and at the same time bears no resemblance to anything I've known. I'm sorry about that. Older people often criticize us, but all we've ever known is the ashes of civilization. What would you say about that?
Yeah, I'm sympathetic. And this goes in cycles because the whole term, I remember, I don't consider myself boomer. I'm like the first of the X, but the boomers, I remember they coined the term like generation gap and no one understands us and anyone, don't trust anyone over 30. Now they're all in their 70s. It's kind of ironic. You know, the Beatles, and they're all old now, the ones that are still alive. So, yeah, I mean, if you read history, every generation, you think of your parents different than you. And it's interesting how life goes. Like, you're the first generation to discover sex. You know, it's kind of funny. We kind of think that way. But I think people before us kind of discover that stuff, too. I'm just guessing.
Yeah. What will it, and this is Orthodoxy Proxy, what will it take to re-energize the alt-right? Or has that horse bolted?
Well, I don't like that term alt-right. I think that was too tied to certain individuals that were discredited. And I like that the way that the term was when it was more a broad term, not of a specific group, but of just a an idea like libertarianism. And I think, unfortunately, that term got tied to certain people. I won't say who, but then they were like discredited. And so I don't like to get tied with the I'm right wing, and so that's how I call myself. I'm a nationalist, and I can explain those positions. So I don't really use the term alt-right anymore. And I think people are more energized than ever, and we can do a lot of positive things in this country. And worldwide, I think our tactics have changed a little bit, but that's good. It's kind of matured a bit.
Yeah. And Gus Faze says, I wonder if the normalization of the F word as an insult or joke was part of the programming towards progressivism, sort of like how racial humor led us down the path of racial acceptance and then reverse racism. It sort of defangs the in-group when an out-group is normalized in the culture. Do you have anything to say about that? Because it's speculative. I think you're right that it does make that out-group seem less alien and less threatening in a way. I think you've got a point there.
Yeah, probably true. I think white people, we're the only people that don't have any insult that would get you in trouble. Although people recently did on TikTok, they used the word cracker, which no one uses that term, but they got in trouble for that, which was kind of funny. But it's, when I think of cracker, I think of saltines or Ritz crackers. Those are really good. Or I like to put cheese on crackers. So I'm getting hungry now thinking about crackers. So it's not an insult to me.
Yeah, it's a sort of antiquated word, isn't it? And
I think
that happened. I think that was primarily a political thing. Well, not political. I think it was tactical on the part of Twitch. I think they did it so as to show that they don't just censor the right. We also sometimes censor the left. And you've got to bear in mind, it would be no loss at all to Vosh because he's massive on YouTube.
Right.
And and as for the other guy, Hassan Piker, it was only a week-long ban for him. So
yeah, it's no big deal. But, I mean, I don't know. Words come and go. What was the insult for the British the Americans had? Limey or something? Was that it?
I can never remember whether that was the Americans or the Australians who used that word against us. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it now seems to be everywhere. Okay, so here's one final question. Links with what I've said at the start. Was Ramsey Paul the first in the dissident right to publicly go against the lockdowns?
I don't know. Z-Man was early too, if you guys are familiar with him.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't really care who's first or anything like that. I don't have a big ego that way. I just want what's best for our people. So I don't really get into some people. They've changed their positions. I disagreed with them back then, and now they've come around. And, I love them. No hard feelings. So I tend to be a forgiving person. I think there's too much infighting. I don't like that term, but I think it's better to just be more forgiving with people and move on. Don't try to hold grudges and stuff. I mean, sometimes you can't because it goes too far, but I prefer that's not water under the bridge. I don't really worry about that now.
Yeah, I agree. There is far too much recrimination. I mean, I did mention that guy who went after various people.
Well, yeah, there's sometimes
COVID.
Yeah,
but I was illustrating, that's the first time I've talked about it publicly. And it's like, I was illustrating that there was this weird atmosphere at that time that you've got to believe that a certain thing, which later turned out to be gravely mistaken. So anyway, it doesn't matter now. It's water under the bridge. All right. Well, let's end this one here. I'm glad that you've been able to appear this year, and we can discuss these issues from 2020, because it's at the time it was, and it still is now, a huge issue.
Yeah,
and I wanted to get your perspective on it.
It's been so good being on here. And I want to ask you a question because you're the exotic foreigner, and so I always ask people: do you guys have Santa Claus, or do you have what they call Father Time? What is it for the kids?
It's Santa Claus.
Rid of Father Time, or
yeah, I think so. Yeah,
wow, you've been Americanized.
Yeah, the Anglosphere is all like that. Yeah, we've got Halloween, Easter, Christmas, Valentine's Day. In Britain, we also have Guy Fawkes Night, whereas you would have Thanksgiving. And
The only thing I know about that is V from Vendetta or whatever that show. And it's funny, I was talking to Tina Veek, and she was saying in Finland, they don't celebrate, obviously, Thanksgiving, but they actually do have Black Friday. And is it that way in Scotland?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's I've forgotten what they call it. Yeah, I think it is Black Friday. And it's not quite as black as in America, if you know what I mean. But yeah, people do that. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have Thanksgiving yet because you're not a thankful people. You need to be more thankful people.
Yeah. All right. Well, Ramsey Paul, thank you for appearing on Millennial 2020.
It's been a blast, and it's been too long since we've been apart. I always love your material, and you're looking good. And yeah, it's been a long and strange journey we've had together. So it's good to see you again.
Yeah, it is. I think I can't remember when you first appeared on Millennial. I think it was. Let me just check this. I think it might have been. Yeah, it was 2015. I think it was. Yeah, it was. Fucking hell.
Yeah, these are classics, and you did a great job on that. So thank you for having on, and love your work, and I'm happy you're doing well, and
thank you.
I hope you have a great year and continue doing what you're doing. And Merry Christmas.
Thank you, and you too, and Merry Christmas. Okay, I'll be back tomorrow night with another 5 Hangouts, which hopefully will go more tightly to schedule than these ones did. First Jared Taylor, then Nick Gilvey, then Bitcoin Flavius, then John Morgan, and finally The Distributist. So there we go. That should be good, and I'm looking forward to that. All right, I'm going to go to bed now.
Night-night, guys, and guys, have a good Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Millennial Woes has created many things, and this is your chance to own one of them. A unique piece of work handcrafted by the Vile Vlogger to commemorate Millennial 2021. 100 hours of highly skilled labor went into producing this animated vector graphic, which can be magnified to any size. In the iconic Millennial Woes font, it glistens and responds to your touch. And at the center of it all, a figure representative of 2021, the White Stag, symbolizing endurance, discovery, and rejuvenation. This one-of-a-kind creation is up for sale as an NFT. Follow the link below, and it can be yours forever. This is your only chance.